Right, Derek.
All right.
Yeah, we're off.
Okay, then. Actually, I was born on the farm where I am at the moment, where I live at the moment, many years ago. Too many to remember.
You're going to tell me then.
And I went to the Henry for Grey School,
which
at that time probably had only got somewhere in the region of about 100 kids, I suppose, or probably a lot less than that, I would have thought. And also, everybody knew everybody, so we knew everybody by name. And from then I left and went to St Ives at the age of 11. The school we used to call St Ives Academy for Young Gentlemen. but in those days, it was bike to school, bike home at dinner time.
Yeah.
And after dinner, we used to get the hour for dinner, which was quite a bit of a cycle ride home, but even so, we mother and father always used to have dinner at dinner time, so we had to eat at midday and bike back for the afternoon.
Was that where the Ivor was now?
No, that was round East Street. That was where the boys' school, round back. And dead opposite the school in those days used to be a slaughterhouse, which was quite appropriate. And the other side was a cemetery. And then when you go down to the Pig Lane was the girls' school, so they were separate, but they were pretty close, really.
Yeah.
We stayed there till, I suppose it was about 14 or something like that when I left school. Unfortunately, my birthday was in September, so I had to go another term till Christmas to leave because it just came at the wrong time. But father and the headmaster managed to wangle something, so we were harvest work, so I was more important.
So straight back to the farm.
And when I remember him saying to the headmaster, he said, he's going to do more, he'll learn more than what he will at school. So he said, all right, I'll send you back when you finish with your thrashing. You see, it used to be thrashing in those days, which at that time was really enjoyable.
Mm.
So I was a little monkey right on top of the drum there. And it was a wonderful life. A really, really wonderful life. I'm glad I went through the era and see the changes over as it is now. But I always wanted to be a carpenter. I was pretty good at carpentering. But father said to me when I left school, he said, I expect you're going to carry on here. But I said, well, no, I'm certainly not going to carry on with horses, because he had horses at the time when I left school. He said, well, what will you want then? So I said, I'd like a little tractor. Well, he said, I can't drive it. So he said, well, you'll have to do the driving then, won't you? So I said, all right, fair enough. So with that, he convinced me that my life had got to be on the farm.
Mm.
So we started off with a little tractor. I can still remember now, father and we did the deal at the Black Bull pub at London Road, St Ives.
Oh, yes.
That's where we did it. And I remember father paid him there and then £365 for a tractor, brand new tractor. And the plough was £45. And neighbour who went with us, he bought a tractor at the same time, and father always regretted he didn't get as good a deal as the other one, because Standen offered father a cigarette and he didn't smoke, and the other chap took one, so father said he had a better deal than he did because he got back off it.
But anyway, so your dad was ploughing with horses?
Father was ploughing with horses. Right. Yeah, he used to do about half acre, three quarters of an acre a day with two horses.
Yeah, and when you got the tractor?
Yeah, well, I took over then, and then we was ploughing. Well, I only had a two-thorough plough, but I was doing about three or four acres a day then.
Right. Yeah.
But during the time up to the reason I didn't really want to go on with the horses, because before I used to go to school at St Ives, I used to have to feed the horses in the morning and get them ready for father. So as soon as we'd had breakfast, he would go off ploughing all day and I would go off to school. And because I wasn't all that tall, every time I used to go and put the harness or the collar over the top, the blooming horse used to bend forward and it would stand on my feet. And I was always got black toes, you know. but so that really put me off. But anyway, we had a tractor, and from then on, I've been right through my life staying where I am now. We were a market garden, we had a few pigs, but I eventually went into pigs. And I got up to 50 sows, which is quite a herd breeding young pigs.
Were you still growing crops as well as the pigs?
We were still growing crops as well.
Yeah.
Sugar beet, potatoes,
yeah,
and all that, and Brussels sprouts. And all that was handwork. There was no mechanisation in those days.
But were you selling them from the site as well, some of these?
No, not at that time. We didn't have a farm shop at that time, but most of it used to go to market. All the spuds used to go in the sheds. So as we do that job in the winter, and the Brussels sprouts we used to send and take them and put them on the railway at St Ives Station. And one highlight really was, I used to know it, because the Brussels were over the railway line, so we used to have to cross the railway line every day when we went to work after I'd fed pigs. And while you worked over there, you get to know all the times of the trains. I knew everyone, you know, it was 20 past 7, 10 to 8, 10 past 8, and it was just to be the 10, 20 minutes to go to Cambridge and back, the train used to be. And the old engine driver used to boop, boop, as you go and you put your hand up and wave, you know, and it was a wonderful days, and smell from the old steam trains going over. And on Christmas there, we got tied up with one of the chaps at St Ives. He said, one of the drivers said, do you think you could supply Brussels for take up into the Midlands for Christmas? So we did a load of bags and put them on the side of the railway line. And then when the train come along, we arranged which train it was going to pick them up. He stopped alongside the line. We had a pitchfork and throw these all in the tender of the train. And all the people looking out the window, I mean, they were packed, the trains were in those days. And everybody were looking out the window and wondering what we were doing. And we were chucking these up on the top there. And of course, then he left the money at the station, which was quite an achievement. The only problem was, all that happened, and I enjoyed it so much, I never ever got a photograph, because in those days it was only an old box camera. Yeah. And that's one of my big regrets. I never had it. And of course, just before that, before we started doing that, when we were kids, we used to love putting pennies on the railway line. It used to be a thing. See how many times you could stamp it on the line. And I've still got some at home now, the old pennies, you know. Mm-hmm. That was, and so anyway, that was life. But in my younger days, we used to go down this lane, down Mill Lane. There was this cottage. That was the only cottage in Maddy Court. It was right in the middle of the big grounds. We used to walk down there over the railway line and go across to the is it going all right?
Yeah.
And go across to what we used to call the Sandy Banks, which was a part of the river down the Hammingford End. It was dug out many years ago, and it was perfect sand, just like Hunstanton Beach. It was beautiful sand. And all Hammingford learnt to swim there. St Ives learnt to swim. We'd go down there for a weekend, people would take picnics over there, and it would just crowds of people would be coming from St Ives across the meadow, all to recognise swimming place. And I would say three parts of the people from Hammingford and St Ives learnt to swim there. And that was, you know, wonderful memories. Because down the lane of Hammingford Gray, Mill Lane, it's changed somewhat. I knew it when it was grass fields, and then the war came along, and I wasn't very old then, but I can still remember them digging it all out for gravel for the airfields. And that's when a real change down there, because they were just gravel pits. But we used to get an old boat. We managed to find a boat somewhere, and we used to go on those pits, and we used to wedge it up with cement, not cement, but tar. We get off of Rodney Guinness's boats to bung the holes up. It's a wonder us youngsters weren't drowned, because it was Mother used to say, I hope you're not going down there. No, we're not going, but boats used to sink, and we'd get on an island and pull the water off. And I don't know, honestly, now we're still here. But, I mean, they are the younger days. But, I mean, Hammingford Gray, when we were youngsters, as kids, we used to come around our place, because Father used to love to tell tales of his war experiences. Mm. And we'd be in there, and we never were bored, because we'd do all sorts of things. We'd get three or four of me mates, we'd all be in house, and we'd go right through the whole village, writing down everybody in the village, because we knew everybody. And obviously the kids at schools, we know them all. And we could go right through and name everybody, and now you don't know your next door neighbour. I mean, how things have changed so much. And I remember going down to, as a youngster, going down once when we had some relations come from London, and we went down to the pub. And as we walked from the farm, because there was no street lights in those days, there was no sewage, there was no water, all our water came from a pump in the garden, and all the toilets were collected by the night cart, when they used to come round. And actually, we've still got the toilet in my back way. The seat is still there, but we use it as a coal house now, but I mean, it's still there, how we used to live. I remember one experience, we were walking down to the pub, pitch dark, and Christmas time, we were walking down, because I was used to get a lemonade from the outside there. And these people walking the other day, and Father says, good night, Jim. And the other one said, good night, Jack. And our relations said, how do you know then? We couldn't see anybody. But they got used to people's footmark, you know, sound of foot and the voices.
Yeah.
And what a difference, you know. It was such, it's so different what it is now, isn't it? But we used to go down to the Axe and Compass. Not the Axe and Compass, the Wagon and Horses and the Cock.
So where was the Wagon and Horses?
The Wagon and Horses is where the Apex is.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that used to be a pub.
Mm.
And Father was telling me of tales when he was a youngster. They used to all go down, but, well, when he was just got married sort of thing, before I was about, he used to bike down to the pub, leave the bikes outside because there was no cars, and whoever came out first took the first bite you got. And he said, yeah, he said, after several weeks, he said, you'd eventually get your own bike back because it was, you'd take the first one there was. And, of course, I know another one as well. I used to go down in the Cock, as it is now, and it used to be Dora Potters. It used to be Potters. Everybody used to know it as Dora's. The Cock name is what it was, but everybody knew it was Dora's. They were a terrific family, a village family, and they were really... She used to spoil the kids and all that sort of thing. She was lovely. And there was a little passage down between the bar and her lounge where you play your music now. That used to be her lounge. But there was a passage between the bar. And we used to go down as kids and we'd stand in there, go down and knock on the door. And I'd say, Carter, could I have 10 woodbines for Father? He said, are you sure they're for Father? Yes. And anyway, we used to manage to get an odd pack of fags now and again, you know. I remember then one of those Christmas dues when we went down there, the Carter, who was the landlord at the time, he said, light a cigarette, Jim, that's my father's name, he says, no, I've never smoked in my life, Carter. And he turned to me and he says, you buckle you, your old boy's been picking odd back of fame, but don't do it again. And I never ever got any more cigarettes from that pub. But it was all fun. There was no vandalism. There was no troubles whatsoever.
Mm.
I mean, the biggest thing we'd ever do was go scrumping apples.
Mm.
And that used to be about all we would ever do.
Mm.
I remember me and my pal, we went in some... Because a lot of orchards in Henry Ford, all round Marsh Lane, all that. There was all orchards. And the pal of me, he said to me one night, he said, do you know there's a lovely red tree? He said, that's lovely eating apples. So we went and put them all in his shirts and filled the pockets all up. We put them in the shed down the farm. Next day we went to eat them and they were cuckoos. They were red cuckoos. But that was about as much as we ever did. But if you take the big changes, we used to have a village pond now where the village sign is.
Yeah.
And if you know, a pond, the reason a pond's there is to take all the drainage from the whole villages. That's what it's for. And used to be the horses used to water in the pond, or the people who grazed cattle down the side of the roads, they would take them and get their drink in there. Well, the pond down at Hemingford, all the drains in Hemingford are focused to that pond. But the pond got filled up many years ago. The planners decided it was a better decision, beat the parish council's decisions because we rejected it, but they said no, we'll put drains and drain the water off across, which was then the back of Daintree Green, we'll go across to the white bridges down Marsh Lane, and that would be the way. But I'm sure that never got piped.
Oh, right.
And we're certain it never got piped because they extended the planning application and added more properties, and it was supposed to have gone right round the outside. Part of the ditch is still there, but it doesn't continue to where it should do, to the pond. And so that's why we flood quite a lot in Hemingford.
Mm.
All opposite my farm, right from Radford's, right the way to the pond, was a great big ditch years ago because there was no houses on that side of the river at all, opposite the school. That was just open fields, grass fields.
Mm.
And there was orchards more towards St Ives. But all those ditches used to go. Then eventually when the sewerage was put in the village, people used to say, can we fill your ditch up to give you an entrance to put your car off the road, put it in the garden? And that's how eventually all those ditches got filled up. You go right along Victoria Terrace, there was a big ditch all the way along there, and that would go to Arms Corner.
Mm.
And then you take, see, there was all the ditches are there for a purpose. The ditches at the back of my farm, this side of the London Road. The only way that water gets back into the river is goes virtually across the back, comes the back of Victoria Terrace, under Filberts Walk, under the main road, down the Fenstanton Low Road, down to there, to the White Bridge, back into the river.
The White Bridge?
Well, it's a big bridge down Low Road, halfway down Low Road, near where they've got the Crystal Lakes now.
Oh, right.
There's a White Bridge there, and that used, that's where all the water goes, right the way around, and like all of Hemmingford, all the joins up to that one, all around the back here. And that's why we had trouble with Victoria Terrace flooding, because the gradually it silted up over the years and it was having problems getting under the road. So therefore, after we had the big floods in 98 and all the big floods, which we was involved in quite a lot, we managed to get this pumping station and found out that we could see the water comes up through the ground. So if you get a flood on the meadow for 3 days, water comes through the socks, what we call the socks, which is the gravel seam, comes up, but it don't go back in 3 days. It has to soak its way back. That's why water in Victoria Terrace used to be for so long before you could get rid of it. So the pumping station has been a hell of a big job, because that's clearing the water as it's coming up now, so they don't flood. I mean, which is brilliant. We're not getting floods this side the flood bank now, which is quite a big achievement that was. And the parish council and, you know, the team of us that were on it at the time, and John Hesper was brilliant for what he did for us. And we all worked as a team, and we managed to get the grant that came from DEFRA. And we was the last one to get this grant, because Oakenby, we were the only one in with it. But we managed to get, by a few strings we pulled either ways, that we managed to do that, which was a great achievement. The only one now is we've got the big problem down the Thorpe, which we've got budgeting for at the moment. If we can get that one dug out and get that working, we'll be able to protect the other end of the village, because at the moment there's nowhere for that water to go because of the variations in the
levels.
With the levels of the pipes when they wanted done it down there, you know, because that was all orchard once upon a time, that side, so there was a big open ditch, so there was never any problems there. But this is my life, Hemmingford. I've been here all my life, and I've been here all my life, and this is me. I've noticed quite a lot of changes, because I was born in the air when there was no sewage, there was no water, no street lights, which was airy, obviously. But in those days, I mean, virtually going down to the village post office, the pub, there was, and the village hall, there was a reading room. As a youngster, we used to play snooker in there. We used to be in the snooker league, being involved with all the sports in Hemmingford, which was brilliant. I know there wasn't a lot there, but we still enjoyed ourselves, and we made sure that all these little various clubs kept going. The village regatta, that's been a big one in my life. I've been involved with that ever since I was 18. At one stage it folded up, but three of us on the committee, after it had all been closed down, we decided to grab it, and we started it again, and it's gone brilliant from ever since. And it's reached its 100 years, and I hope it goes on for many more years. It's, of course, it adds quite a lot of interest to the village, and it gets the people involved with each other a lot more. I mean, if you just move into the village, you've only got to join Sports and Social Club, the playing fields. There's so many things you can join. No matter what you are, you can soon be join and be part of Hemmingford. You can soon make friends, can't you?
Absolutely.
This is part of it.
Didn't they used to have swimming competitions in the river as well?
Yeah, there used to be swimming. There used to be dog competitions and all. Swimming dogs across the river. And, you know, that used to be, there used to be a cup for that years ago. Everybody had dogs, and used to see whose best dog could swim across the river. There used to be a greasy pole as well. They used to have a greasy pole, which used to be quite a laugh. Yeah. But obviously, because now there's a lot more races than there used to be. It wouldn't be on, because a lot of motorbikes going up and down as well. It wouldn't work, because you used to have to stick across the river about a third of the way. So there was a problem there. So, but I've been, as I said, been involved with virtually everything, with bowls. The only thing I haven't done was squash. I never got involved with that. I've been chairman of the bowls, tennis, cricket, everything really.
Mm.
But it was my aim to keep everything going, because I had so much enjoyment out of sport in the village. That's why I've always been helped anything that is going, because I just love. And as I said, it's a wonderful way to keep people together. And going back to the playing fields, I remember after the war, Mr. Hayward, Colonel Hayward, he gave, I think it was Colonel, I'm sure it was Colonel Hayward, he gave the field for remembrance of the war.
Mm.
And we managed to get a building on there, which was Nishanuts, that Galvanisheen huts that came from the Hemingford Park, where there was a prisoner of war camp during the Hemingford Abbots. There was a prisoner of war camp during the war.
Mm.
And I remember father and me took one of them down and we put that up on the playing field. Oh, I mean, it was a bit rough, but it did the trick. And we used to have a cricket tees in there. The only trouble was when somebody would hit the outside with a ball, all the rust would fall all over you, all over your sandwiches and all in your cups of tea. And the football, when we used to play football there, they used to carry Sam Perkins, who lived around the corner. It used to bring hot water in a little truck on his bike, and he'd carry hot water, and we'd have a long bath, and we would all go into the bath. But it was a feral state when your last one was in it, because it would probably be about 2 inches thick of mud at the bottom. but that's how. But we all thoroughly enjoyed it, and that was brilliant. Just talking of sport, probably a lot of people don't realise that where Vicarage Fields is, that used to be the Hemingford football pitch. And it was known as 6 acres. That used to be, before those properties were built on there, that used to be a grass field, and it was called the 6 acres. And where the big oak tree is, where you could quite easily get a football pitch, and it would reach from Bragg's Lane that way, long ways down. That's where it used to be. And that's where Hemingford football team used to play. And the changing rooms used to be Miss Bevan's, which is the building next to the village church rooms. There was stables and that on the end of that before that middle bit was done. Mm. That was long stables, and that's where we used to walk and get changed. That was really up. But then the playing fields were formed, so we moved from there and went down there, which was a great facility. When the Nishanuts got a bit rough, there was lots of bits of done. The outdoor toilets, you used to go outside and just behind galvanised sheeting. That used to be the early days. And then we got Frank Rook, who lived at Scotney's, who worked for Scotney's, and he was a big noise there, and we managed to get a building at cost price to put up on our wooden building, which went for many, many, many years till it deteriorated. It ran its life out, a 20-year life. And from then on, we proceeded by adding to it. And then we come to the stage where we got this money from this planning game from Marsh Lane, Pinder's Green, and that's where we got this lovely elaborate building that we've got now. But going back right through the life, it's been lovely to achieve and been through all these areas, because it really makes you appreciate what you've got today. I mean, today we're really spoilt. Turn a tap, you've got hot water, cold water. Go out, you've got street lights, you've got cars. But you know, today, some of the youngsters, you see buses taking them to St. Ives. You think a lot of these could bike. You know, they could bike from the village to the school when they only got about 200 yards to go. But I think you're better, far better to go the way I was brought up, where you really had to enjoy and earn your life. It's a brilliant life, and I'm glad I've done what I have done. Glad I've been involved with what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, going what I've been talking about, it's natural. I'm a real sports-minded person, and I'm for the youth. And I just love to see these things. And when I eventually depart, I should depart with knowing that I've took a lot out of the village, but I hope I'm put a hell of a lot in.
The Killer Award degree.
And I'm thoroughly enjoyed it. I love working with people in the village. I love joking and laughing. I love telling me stories and me tales. I don't think I can ever be too serious, but I aim to do that's right. I try to do the best for what I can do. But going to parish council used to be, it's changed quite a bit, parish council has. Starting off there, I was just the old boy and helping and doing what we could. And as we came through, I learnt so much from Frank Rook. He used to be chairman of the parish council for many years. And I learnt so much in my life from him. And it was his personality of getting things done by people. He would come up to you and say, "Derek, get us out of a mess." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Oh, I'm on the council." He said, "The district council, so I've asked somebody to do something." He said, "They ain't done it. Do you want any help?" I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Can you take a tractor and trailer and move that rubbish away?" I said, "Yeah, okay, I'd do it." But if he'd have come up to me and said, "I want you to do that," I wouldn't have done it. But, and it's your personality, really. He is. And he said to me, and when you look at it, when you really look at it, if I said to you, "Get that done." "What? Do us a favour. Help us out." Can you refuse? You can't, can you? And this is how I've gone right through the parish council. I've been lucky enough to have most of the contacts from wherever I deal with. You could get this sort of help, and they're only too pleased to help you, because you know in the long run you're going to help them as well. I always like to do and do like you like to be done yourself, you know. But Frank was a good impression for me. I do it right for me, even through my farming life. It's brilliant. You can really get things done. I mean, don't put this in, but I mean, that's like Leon up the road. I got all this rubbish for parish council at the moment. I said, "Leon, do us a favour, mate. What's that?" And he does it for you. You know. But it seemed to change a little bit. It's got a bit too serious now. Although we're still aiming to do what we can. I remember it changed. We noticed it changed about 2 years ago, when Brian Luxford, a good old boy he was, and he used to work with me with the floods, and we were supposed to give a report to the parish council, and we forgot to do it. So Brian said, "We're supposed to put that in." So I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "I can remember it off my mind what we've done." So got to the meeting and said, "My report," and I started da-da-da-da-da. "Hang on. This is supposed to be in writing." I forget who it was. "This is supposed to be in writing." Well, I said, "I'll put it this way. We're awfully sorry what's happened. But it's like this. Brian can't spell and I can't write. So we thought we'd better tell you this by mouth." And the whole room went quiet. And there weren't even a mention. And I turned to Brian. I said, "Well, Brian, fun's gone in the council. Nobody can see the joke."
Yeah.
And Dave DeGarry down after the meeting, he says, and so did Sandy, they said, "Do you know what? That's the end of fun in council." And it's picking up a bit more now, but I don't care what you're on. You've got to enjoy what you're doing. You've got to not be damn serious on everything you do. Probably at times I'm too over the top by joking and laughing and that, but I still try to do the best I can for the village. But wonderful place to live, and I'm sure everybody who lives here now and everybody in the future will enjoy it, because it's got a wonderful set background for it all now. It's established, and I just hope it goes on and everybody really appreciates being in one of the best villages in the country.
How do you see the future?
Pardon?
We're trying to manage the future rather than let it overtake us.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, and everything is doing. I mean, what you're doing has been brilliant to help us now, because it's a new line coming in, and lots of new lines coming in, different people's views, and they're obviously going to be different, and let's hope you go between them all and find out the best ones for the village. Everybody's going to have different ideas, but it's by council having decisions and not fighting, but discussing them. Nine the times I've been to meetings and I made up my mind, that's it, and somebody will bring something up and I'll think, I hadn't twigged that. I remember once at a council meeting, I was chairman and I voted for it, I voted for it and cast a vote. And I thought, hell. And I went the other way and voted against myself. And so he said, whatever you're up to. I said, you know what? Something came out there. I said, what a prayer. But, yeah, no.
Yeah.
But the village is it's improved so much from what it is. I mean, we're living with the times now. You try to have a word with some of the youngsters these days. I have a word with grandchildren. I say these different things, and I'm sure they think you're telling stories or tales, but, you know, that's the way we have been through that way. I remember all my farming, my potatoes, everything was by hands, no machinery. It was all done by hands. We spent tons and tons of potatoes, tons and tons of Brussels, sugar beet, everything was cut with a knife. You know, everything was, it's so improved. I mean, now you sit down on a tractor and it's done.
Yeah.
I mean, filled up the road there, now we combine that, whereas it used to take about a week to cart it with sheaves, but now it's done in, what, 3 hours? All in the shed and gone. You know, it's too easy, really. It's, the fun's gone out of it.
Just remind me of a story you once told me about going up Meadow Lane here, and the width had narrowed down.
Yeah.
It had never been actually measured, but you knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the lane here, that was some time of gap when new people were moved into the land, and they put hedge all the way down the road. And I went, well, Leon said to me, he said, the lane's getting narrower now. So I go down and have a look, and I said, hey, he's been planted all his hedge on the road. So we had a meeting with the chappy that was moved in there, and I said to him, really, you're on council property. He said, no, I'm on where the edges of soil were. Well, I said, well, I remember when I was a kid, I said, that was a hedge, and we used to go in that field mushrooming. And when they dug the gravel, the soil from the mound run down onto through the hedge, so therefore it's made that road, you know, probably about a yard narrower. No, it isn't. So anyway, I said, I know jolly well it is. So I rung the highway man up, and he came out with the deeds and the plans. He said, yeah, he's encroached the land by a yard. I said, well, I remember it. And when I had a word with this chap, he said, no, it isn't anyway. They came and made him move it, because it was something that could have taken over in a village. And, you know, but that's by knowing what had happened, wasn't it? You know, I mean, I experienced it. And if you can talk by experience, because it always sticks in your mind. And that was that one. We proved that one all right. Just the one the other way. If you go down Marsh Lane, you go by the cemetery, there was nothing on the right. There was nothing on the left. There was a red house, that was the only one, and Miss Murray's that used to be on the corner, that's now been pulled down. That used to be near where the joint footpath is. That was the bungalow there. You get the Ashmore's farm, which was Ben Corbett's, the milkman. You turn left to London Road. There was Stocker's farm. There was one house on the left. Then there was Stocker's farm, which has all been knocked down. And there was one old cottage further down near the White Bridge. That's all there was down that way.
Mm.
Opposite the farm, there was nothing at all whatsoever in those fields until you got to a cottage on Pond Corner. So wide open spaces.
Yeah. And how did your farm get it? Doxy's farm?
I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
We've tried to track it down, but we don't really know.
Mm.
I mean, no.
It's a nice old name,
we, yeah, it? We can't. Yeah, we. It's we've got it. Still stays as Doxy's farm. It's probably changed a bit because we just call it what we it seems to have taken our name over now.
Mm.
But it's a nice area.
Yeah.
The field near the school, obviously that's not mine, that belongs to County Council, but we've tried for a long while to get additional car park for the school there, but they won't part. Mm. We've also tried to get a cemetery the other end, which we desperately need, because the one we've got is virtually full.
Yeah.
But nobody will seem to row balls with that. So we are getting in a bit of state. I think the village is well fitted up with everything, bar a cemetery, because we have got problems. There is some land down Gawtree Road on the Benz, which belongs to the church, because that used to be the village allotments once. And I found out that still it's owned by the church still, although it's been made into one big field. And I believe if we go through for the right channels, the Diocese of Ely is over it, I think we could probably have a deal with them there. So that is the only area that I think we probably could gain. But we are seriously in trouble with the cemetery.
Yeah.
We've run out of space completely. So everything else in the village is really put right, I think, barring...
So that's the
next thing. Future cemetery. Yeah. But that's going through a lifetime of things I can remember on the cop. I don't think there was anything on there, especially.
Yeah, that's absolutely perfect.
You might be able to cut some bits in there for it or make any good of it. So tell you about Fred Manor. Oh, yeah, just one other little thing. You could down the lane here, where the old flood bank used to go.
Yeah.
There is a mound just before you get from where Tully's is and the other bit. That used to be the flood bank. And there used to be boards, four boards used to go across there, 2 inches thick or 3 inches thick. And I remember when I was a lad, father, when the water used to start coming up, we used to be in charge of putting the boards in there, flood boards.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get them back in the horse and cart and put them in there, and we'd go and put them in. No end of times we'd done that to stop the floods coming down the lane.
Yeah.
Now there's still just a little, you could see where they probably were.
Oh, look at that.
And the flood bank used to go right through, it used to come by where Agate's bungalow is. That we'll have to walk it sometime and we'll show you some of all that, because as I said, there's very few people know about it in the village now. I mean, it's changed so much. Now the flood bank's been altered and it's become the old railway line. They've made that as a flood bank now. So, I don't think I've got anything else on here. Oh, there used to be a basket maker. Oh, Victoria Terrace.
Yeah.
You know, Philbert's Walk.
Yes.
There used to be a row of houses along there, very similar to Victoria Terrace.
I didn't know that.
And that was called Philbert's Walk.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, but I think there's 36 or 38 houses in Victoria Terrace, and I think there's virtually about the same there was in Philbert's Walk.
Same style.
Yeah, one long row, yeah, same sort of thing. And the house this end... It used to be a business for the Harrisons, used to be basket makers. And Italians, when they were prisoners of war, used to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And used to make lots of baskets, and they used to be for the apples and that, for the fruit trees, you know, for fruit and all that, sending markets. And when they became, that used to be quite a mound across there, a great bit, they were on quite a ridge. And they eventually got condemned. And most of the people who moved from there moved into the council houses that were built opposite the school.
Oh, right. Yes.
And that's how they moved from there. Right. And most of those people that were living in those houses worked at the gasworks, which was the other side of the road, you know, where Man Eckerton's garage was?
Yes.
That was the gasworks. Yeah, that's the gasworks. And that's most of those used to work there, and that's where all the coke was burned to make gas. And I think that's why nothing's been done there, because it's still pipeline still comes there and joins up somewhere to the main supplies. That's why it is.
You mentioned just before about prisoners of war.
Yeah, prisoners of war used to be at Hemingford Abbott's Park. We've had Germans and Italians work on the farm with us, and most people around here employed them. They used to have the stars on the legs. Used to have the stars here, patches on the back, patches on the legs. Yeah, that was, that was pretty good. That used to work with us.
None of them stayed in the village?
Yeah, there was some stayed in St Ives. Mm. One or two have stayed round there when the war was over.
Yeah.
One or two met up with lasses round there and got married.
Mm.
A few of them stayed. But they used to be all right. Had a job with language, but never mind, they used to be all right on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nearly everywhere employed, you know, a chat of prisoners of war.
Yeah. People still come here from Germany to see where.
Yeah. We've got an Italian who used to work for us. I think he's dead now. I think he's passed on now. But his children come to see us.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had evacuees work here, live around here.
Mm-hmm.
We had an evacuee live with us. Everybody more or less took one in.
Mm-hmm.
They nearly all come from London.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Maddy Court, all the evacuees came and stayed at Maddy Court during the times. And they used to go to Hammerford Grade School.
Mm.
And they had one classroom of their own. I think there were three classrooms in Hammerford. One was for the evacuees and the others were for us.
Why did you separate them?
Yeah, well, they had their own teachers with them.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they would talk together. Well, I mean, we played together, but
yeah,
they had their own classrooms.
Yeah.
And they kept the kids together as they're used to each other, you know.
Yeah.
But we had evacuees and we had Langos. We had Langos. Lango was staying with us as well.
Mm.
He used to stay with us working on the farm.
Mm.
So we've been right through quite a circle really. But Hemingford is still nice Hemingford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new resident, Derek, compared with you, I think so as well.
Yeah, I'm glad. There's not many people move out, I'll tell you.
It's a one-way ticket, really.
Yeah,
it?
Unless their business or their job pushes it so they have to go, they normally stay here. You only got to look around, they got the roots going.
Mm.
They join the sports and social club, they join the cricket, they join the football. You can't fail to get in, can you? I mean, it's plenty. Everybody are welcome. Everybody. I mean, we know it's with the farm nursery. It's it's brilliant to see people keep coming because I reckon they come for a natter as much as anything else because it's all the fun of talking and working with people and seeing people.
Yeah, that's the benefit. I just
love it. Mm. I might be over the top at times. Too jovial with people, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If you don't want it, then that's me. Then he can come. Well, probably you can get a few bits out of that to make some sense out of that. Oh, it's a pleasure.
Brilliant.
Because so much that when I go, it's gone.